So our scripture today is found in, back in the back part of the New Testament, there's a series of letters that were written by various church leaders in the early days of the church. And we're going to be looking at 1 Peter. 1 Peter can be found in page 235 in the New Testament section of your Bible. And we're going to pick up in Peter's letter with these words in chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourself for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there's a parable that's told about a group of animals who decide that they need to improve themselves. So they begin a school. The curriculum includes swimming, running, climbing, and flying. The duck is obviously already a very good swimmer, but he is deficient in other areas. So he majors in climbing, running, and flying, much to the detriment of his swimming. A rabbit, a superior runner, was forced to spend so much of his time in other classes that he soon lost much of his famed speed. The squirrel, who had been rated as an A as a climber, soon dropped to a C because his instructor spent hours trying to teach him to swim and fly. The eagle was disciplined for soaring to the treetops when he had been told he had to learn how to climb up, even though flying was what really brought him joy. And while it may have been an admirable goal to tackle new challenges, none of the animals were doing what they were created to do. They were trying to be like their friends instead of being themselves. And I think that too often we live like those animals in the parable, focusing on what we can't do, thinking we ought to be more like somebody else, instead of embracing the person that we are created and called by God to be. You see, we have all been given gifts and entrusted with opportunities to serve, but we're not called to do these things on our own, by ourselves, in our own power, nor are we called to do it the way someone else would do it. We are to act in the power and the gifting and the activity of God. But how do we do that? How do we discern what it is that we are called to do and be, much less act on it? Well, the first step is simply to make ourselves available, to do what we can, but never expect that we can or should do it all, to celebrate our giftedness without becoming prideful, to see a need, and to be willing to offer ourselves, as an answer, to give up thinking we need to get it all together before we can serve. After all, consider the servants of God we meet in the Bible. They are far from perfect. Why do we think we should have to be? I can't think of one person in the Bible, other than, of course, Jesus, who had it all together. Someone who wasn't dealing with some kind of a fatal flaw or a handicapping condition. And yet God used them, and God desires to use all of us as well. God knows who we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But God doesn't leave us as we are. The Spirit gifts us so that we can gift others, as Peter writes in today's scripture, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let us serve one another with whatever gift we have been given. My gifts work with your gifts so that together we may answer God's call. I often think of us, as I just was talking to the kids, as pieces of a puzzle. Every piece is unique. No two are identical. No two of us are the same. We each have a shape that helps us to find our place in this congregation, our role in God's work in the world. The fact that the word shape is the one, the word shape is the word that Rick Warren, founder of Saddleback Church, uses as an acronym to invite people to find their best place to serve. There's lots of acronyms out there about this, about, you know, how we kind of put together and how we find it, but I like this one, and so this is the one I tend to use. It works for me the best. Each letter of the word shape indicates one factor that we are to consider when we're trying to determine whether we are a duck or a rabbit or a squirrel or an eagle in God's world. So the S is spiritual gifts. We've all been given gifts by the Spirit: service, teaching, encouragement, administration, wisdom, leadership, giving, prayer, the list goes on. The 20 gifts listed by Paul in his letters may not even be exhaustive. Next Sunday, we will actually look at the spiritual gifts more closely. But knowing our spiritual gifts doesn't provide the total answer to where we are called to serve. There are other factors that can help us find places and ways to serve God that are life-giving instead of life-draining. We need to listen to our heart, the H in shape. We all care about different things. We are all drawn to different issues, problems, people. Kind of like this prayer today, there's different aspects of all of the issues that are going on in our world that are touching our heart, and those are the things we're offering to God. For some of us, we may be concerned about environment. Others, the homebound. Those who are hungry, homeless, youth. Each of us have things that we care about that touches our heart, and that is something we need to listen to if we are to find the place where we can serve that honors God as we have been created by God. So after looking at the topic of spiritual, even though H is the second letter in shape, it's not going to be the second in the sermon series. I'm going to get to that at the end, because while all these other aspects, spiritual gifts, ability, personality, experience, affect how we serve God, heart tells us where we're called to serve. So we're going to get that at the end. Instead, we're going to jump to that A in the word shape in the second week. Different people are born with things they're just naturally able to do. They have abilities, talents that they've developed over the years. Some are musical, some are mechanical, some are precise, some are charismatic. We all have learned things over the years. Some of us can plant a garden. Others of us can do analysis and planning. Some are whizzes with computers, while others may be able to write. Others fix a running toilet. We all have things that we are able to do. Abilities are one of the things that we can offer in service to God and God's people. And then there's P, our personality. Two people may have the same spiritual gifts. They may find their hearts touched by similar circumstances. They may have matching abilities, but the way they use these may be completely different because of the way they're wired. Some of us are extroverts. We get energy from being with people. Some of others are introverts who work best when left alone. Some like a task narrowly defined, while others would prefer to work in a general framework. Some need a deadline to get with lots of follow-up to get a task done. Others do better when they can set their own timetable. God created us to be people that we are. And if we are to serve in authentic, faithful ways, we should honor the way God made us. And finally, we should also honor what God has done in and through us. We have life experience to offer. We've been shaped by experiences of church, work, school, and family. Experience that does not necessarily have to be positive in order to be used by God. Often it is our failures and our most painful experiences that are the most effective tools we have to serve God. Okay, that was a lot, and we'll be unpacking it more over the weeks, but S-H-A-P-E, it's how we're created, it's how we're called. It is where we find our most fulfilling and effective ways of serving God. So just to kind of give, before we get into the nitty-gritty in the few weeks, I want to just tell you two stories from my own life that kind of illustrate what I'm trying to get at and where we're going to be going. The first is a do not do this story. And the other is, isn't it amazing what God can do with us story? So the first story is about a decade ago. I was asked to help out with a regional worship and music conference that was going to be offered in Denver, Colorado, where I was living at the time. It was sponsored by the Presbyterian Association of Musicians, of which I was not a member. But a friend of mine was the conference director, and so I agreed as a favor to her, sure, I'll be a pastor resource and kind of a local person to help you find people that you may be able to bring into the conference to supplement things. I figured I'd go to the first meeting, find out what they needed, give them some advice, give them some referrals, and be out. Well, imagine my surprise when I discovered that I was actually part of a three-person, eventually we managed to get it up to four, planning team for the whole conference. Now, let me tell you, this was not the ministry I was shaped to do. While I have the gift of leadership, I do not have the gift of administration. And unfortunately, it turned out no one on the team did. I liked the conference. I had been to one a couple years before, but it was not something I was particularly passionate about. If I hadn't found myself as part of the planning team, chances are I wouldn't even have gone to the conference when it came to town. I didn't have a lot of ability to offer. I had never planned a regional conference before. I hadn't created a national brochure before. I hadn't contracted with hotels before. It didn't fit my personality because it called for a lot of proactive detail work. And I guess my ministry experience did have something to offer, but that wasn't really enough to make this a good fit. I stepped back as far as I could, set some limits on what I would do, explained why, but I didn't walk away. Maybe it was my compulsive need to always do the responsible thing that kept me there, but I don't think that was the only reason. I also saw that I was needed. My friend, quite frankly, needed my help. She was in over her head. And while I might not have been the person best shaped for the work, I was the person who was there, maybe even put there by God. So I did the best that I could. You see, I think there are times when we serve because there is a need, and while we may not be the best, we're the best that's available. But it's far better when we can serve out of the shape we are given by God, which is the lesson I learned very early in my Christian journey. In college, I found myself attending First Presbyterian Church of Colorado Springs. My junior year, I was invited to become an advisor for the junior high group there. And I said yes. Excuse me. I don't think I had any more idea of what I was agreeing to than when I ended up on that conference planning team. Probably less. But I said yes, and it turned out to be a good ministry match for me. It's probably a lot of the reason that I'm a pastor today. For junior high ministry fit the way God shaped me. My spiritual gifts. One of my spiritual gifts is the gift of encouragement, which is about 90% of what youth ministry is all about. I also have the gift of leadership, wisdom, and teaching, which are all also helpful. My heart. The main reason I said yes was because I cared deeply about kids of this age. I had, as I have mentioned before, a miserable junior high experience and a confusing church experience in response to that misery. So I figured if I could help one kid get through that time of life more easily and with better connection to God than I did, then it was worth all of the time, the energy, and the frequent aggravation that came along with the ministry. And I was right. To help a kid, to make them feel better about themselves or about God or life, was deeply satisfying for me. My abilities. I have the ability to express caring, to understand what others are feeling and to relate to people who are younger than I am. Plus, as a college student, I had flexibility and availability to participate. My personality: I like surprises, and I have a high tolerance for chaos. These are good things when you're working with junior high. I also had a lot of experience organizing outings and activities. I'd been a Girl Scout leader my senior year in high school. My youth group had been an important part of my formation as a person. I knew how valuable an experience a good youth program could be. I also knew how easy it was to fail kids in these programs. In other words, it was a fit. God had shaped me to serve this way. And because it was a fit, I spent 2 summers interning in churches. After graduation, I helped with the youth group at my church back home. And eventually, all of this ministry involvement led me to seminary and ordination, to churches in Maryland, Colorado, St. Louis, and now here. Now, please don't let this story make you nervous. It's a rare thing when serving the way you're shaped leads a person to become a pastor or a missionary or some other kind of church worker. But I do believe that it does lead us in ways that strengthen our faith and allows us to strengthen and encourage the faith and ministry of others. It also helps us to discover and embrace the purpose of our own life. But none of that can happen if we don't make ourselves available to God. Final story. In 1992, NASA launched an exploratory space probe called the Pioneer 10. The satellite's primary mission was to reach Jupiter, photograph the planet and its moons, beam the data back to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field, radiation belts, and atmosphere. It was a bold plan. At that time, no satellite had ever gone beyond Mars, and they feared that asteroids would destroy the satellite before it could reach its goal. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and much, much more. Swinging past the giant planet on November 1973, Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 at a higher rate of speed toward the edge of the solar system. At 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. Some 2 billion miles it hurled past Uranus, Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles, Pluto at almost 4 billion. By 1997, 25 years after its launch, it was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. And despite the immense distance, it continued to beam back radio signals to Earth using an 8-watt transmitter, about as powerful as a nightlight, with messages that took more than 9 hours to reach Earth. And it kept doing so until it finally lost its ability to transmit on January 23rd, 2003. The little satellite that could was not qualified to do what it did. Engineers designed the Pioneer 10 with a useful life of just 3 years. But it kept going and going. By simple longevity, its tiny 8-watt transmitter radio accomplished more than anyone thought possible. And the same is true for us and our service to God. All we have to do is what we are created to do, to live as best we can according to our shape. We don't have to worry if we only have an 8-watt ability or faith or training. With God, that's more than enough. The only thing that can stop God, the only thing that can cause us to fail, is if we quit. So I'd encourage you to join me over the next weeks in discovering and celebrating your gifts and abilities, your personality and your life experience, and then offering them where your heart leads, that you may fulfill your purpose and mission through this congregation, as together, as pieces of the puzzle that is Anaheim First Presbyterian. We serve God in ways that are faithful to your unique shape, the shape in which we are each created. Amen.